Thursday, March 22nd, 2018. This is the Hermetic Hour, and I am your host, Poke Runyon. And tonight, we present the second part of the legenda of the OTA's second Craterapoa degree, Neocorus. Now, the legenda is essentially the same as the degree script, with a few secrets deleted. It's the story of the degree. Now, this was the first OTA degree back in the early 1970s. And it was moved up to the second position when we began to do all seven of the Craterapoa degrees in the system. Now, last week we covered the reception, the testing, and the ordeals in Section 1. Tonight we move through the obligation and on to the knowledge lectures in Section 2. Our instructions in Solomon's Magic are delivered in a biblical style, similar to Samuel Mather's that he used in some of the GD lectures. So, if you want to continue to experience a magical initiation, stay with us and we'll give you a word picture of the process. Now, last week, those of you who are with us, and those of you who are not with us, you can go on the Hermetic Hour website and listen to it. We archive all of our podcasts, so you can pick it up. Last week, as I said, we took you from the reception of the candidates when they arrived at the Hermitage, and the Thesmophores set them up for their test. They have to do the Tree of Life, and it's a geometrically correct Tree of Life with all the correspondences, and they have to draw it out. And then, of course, they have another even more formidable test during the initiation. They have a memorized proficiency that they have to deliver. And as we went through that, and then they were placed in bondage and solitude and blindfolded and likely tied and placed in bondage and solitude and then brought before the judges, and in which they had their tree test was scrutinized, and then they had to deliver their proficiencies in front of the panel of judges. And then they were taken back to bondage and solitude, and they had to sit there blindfolded and tied up, wondering whether they had passed or not. And then finally, those of them who did pass, and most of them usually do, they were led before the Sphinx, and they gave the key of the Sphinx, and then they were taken through the simulated cavern of the Barantha, which was a kind of an obstacle course, and they're all blindfolded, and they're led to Leviathan, the dragon of chaos, and he guards the abyss. And they have to face the Dragon of Chaos, and they have to vanquish him. And then at this point, they're all seated in the grotto, and one by one they vanquish Leviathan, and then they are led across this very precarious bridge into the temple, and the bridge is very wobbly, and they're still blindfolded, and they have a rope stretched up overhead that they have to reach up and with both hands and guide themselves across this wobbly bridge. And the Thesmophores, of course, the guide, he helps them make sure they don't fall. And then they get into the temple, and then when they're in the temple, they stand before the veil. And you can see through the veil, and the priestess with the jewels of Outer Goddess. And boy, back in the old days, we used to paint the jewels on the priestess, and that was, more recently we have the jewels in the form of a harness, or a caduceus wand with the chakras on it. Anyway, they see the priestess between the pillars, and. But they have to choose whether they will accept the scourging or whether they will choose the ordeal by fire. Now, back in 1970, of course, in those days, things were much, much different than 1970 in Southern California. Almost all over the country. Things were much different, and everybody, you know, took their white robes off and accepted a light scourging, a lot lighter than the Garden Arians. and then that was their purification. But things have changed, and we've all gotten a lot older, and some people are very modest, and we're not gonna keep them from having it. So we have an option, and that's the ordeal by fire, and it's kind of frightening, but we haven't heard anybody yet, and so once they do that. Then they step in through the veil and stand between the pillars, and then the priestess tells them, and I'm going back to the agenda now, a little catch up here, because we did this before, but we'll catch up a little continuity here. So they're standing between the pillars, and the priestess says, either in their underwear or whatever, and the priestess says, "Shine with the light, you stand between the pillars of Enoch and thrice greatest Hermes, crafted in the age before the flood when gods walked the earth and taught them the secrets of heaven. The serpents you see twined around these columns are emblazoned with the most ancient laws in the language of the angels. Columns represent the pillars of mercy and severity on the tree of life, and you are now the center pole of that equilibrium. A channel through which the mighty forces of the celestial spheres, both in the universal microcosm and your own personal microcosm, may be invoked by the names of power." And then at this point, we do the names of power descending in the master hermetic yoga ritual, and the priestess anoints with the holy oil. She anoints the chakras all the way down. This is somewhat similar to some other initiations you may have heard of. But anyway, and we go down with it with the names of power coming down in Atzaluth and going back up in Bria and anointing the chakras. So that's what we got. We got through all that last week, and so let's continue. And the priestess anoints the candidate's chakra points while reciting the descending names of power in Atzaluth from the master ritual. The hierophant at the altar may recite the names while the priestess anoints if necessary. The thesmophores comes forward with the candidate's black robe and helps him or her put it on. The hierophant lights a brazier on the altar and a gong sounds. The candidate steps toward the altar. The hierophant addresses him or her. "Child of the lights, you have passed all the ordeals and you have penetrated to the very inner sanctum of the mysteries. You have been anointed with the holy oil and you now wear the vestments of art. But there is one final test you must pass before you take the obligation that will make you one of us. It's the test of purpose. Before you on the altar, you see two cups, one black and one white. The dark goblet on your left represents a commitment to the path of worldly domination and power, while the white goblet on your right symbolizes your quest for celestial wisdom and immortality. You must choose now which cup you will drink, and when I give the command, seize it quickly and drain it to the dregs. Drink!" A candidate seizes the white goblet and gulps down the wine or the grape juice it contains, and be sure to determine if the candidate can drink wine before charging the goblet. The dark goblet will be charged with a few ounces of 151 rum. The Hierophant says, Child of the Light, you've chosen well. Now take up the black goblet you so wisely refused and sip it carefully so that you will remember the taste of the cup of abominations. The candidate does so and replaces the black cup. The Hierophant picks it up and pours the rum into the brazier. It flames up. And he says, In ancient times, the Magi of our tradition placed a deadly poison in the dark cup so that even if the candidate had the knowledge and the courage to win through all the ordeals and enter the very inner sanctum of the temple, he would not live to misuse the secrets he had gained. Now, of course, we note here that the test of purpose is only found in the French version of Craterapoa, but it is certainly worthy and a dramatic addition to the traditional Neo-Chorus initiation. And the Hierophant says, Are you now prepared to swear your sacred oath and seal it with a drop of your blood? The candidate says, I am. The Hierophant says, Then kneel before the altar on both your knees and place your hands forming a triangle. And the Hierophant holds up his hands and with his thumb tips and his forefinger tips touching, forming a triangle to demonstrate. And on the altar is a Bible open to the Song of Solomon with a sacred delta. Now the candidate places his palms down on the open Bible with his thumbs and forefingers surrounding the delta. The Hierophant reads or delivers the obligation sentence by sentence, requiring the candidate to repeat each sentence. Repeat after me. I, Frater or Soror, so-and-so, known in the outer world as so-and-so, with my hands upon this holy book and universal symbol of divinity, in the presence of the Lord of the universe, who is everywhere and all-seeing, within the hall of the Order of the Temple of Astarte, under warrant from the Ordo Rosae Crucis, do of my own free will, solemnly promise and swear to keep secret all documents, rituals, literature, designs, official proceedings, and personal confidences related to the Order, its officers, and members, from any person in the world who has not been initiated into it, nor will I reveal the same to any member who has resigned, been suspended, or expelled. I further pledge to maintain a kindly and benevolent relation with all the fratres and sororities of this degree, extending aid, confidence, and inspiration to the pastophore of the fellowship, and according veneration to those having attained the rank of chistophorus and above in the Order of Rosae Crucis. I also swear that I will preserve the integrity of the rituals and the teachings of the first and second degrees, neither changing, adding, or deleting from them without authorization from the Ordo Rosae Crucis. I furthermore and most importantly promise and swear that I shall follow no inner voice or outer call that might lead me to betray this order by distorting, degrading, or misrepresenting its rites and its teachings. Neither will I aid others in doing so. I furthermore promise that I shall not use the secrets of the magical art to defraud, delude, or dominate anyone, most especially a member of this order. I swear and affirm upon this holy book and upon the integrity of my immortal soul to observe all these things without evasion, equivocation, or mental reservation under penalty of being expelled and proscribed for my offense. Furthermore, if I break this, my magical oath, I hereby submit myself to the judgment of the divine guardians before whom my soul now stands. And as I bow my neck under the sword of the ancient masters, so do I commit my spirit into their keeping. May I seek the light with honor, fidelity, and courage as a true and loyal Frater or Soror of the Ordo Templi Astartes. And as a note, when the candidate repeats, as I bow my neck, the Thes places the blade of the Solomonic sword against his neck. And that happens to be Fred Adams' old Solomonic sword, which has a bronze double crescent bronze hilt that was in the collection of Sanders the British witch. Anyway. The Hierophant says, Now, in proof of your sincerity and as evidence of your initiation, you will sign a copy of the oath you have sworn and seal it with a drop of your blood. Now, the initiate writes his magical and his mundane names on the top of the oath and signs with his mundane signature at the bottom. The Thez then uses a blood tester with a sterile lancet to take a drop of blood from one of his fingers and apply it near his signature on the oath. And when this is done, he says, "Venerable Hierophant, the obligation is sealed in blood." The Hierophant then says, "But the sign of this degree is given thus," and he shows it, and it alludes to, and he explains that, "the password of this degree is," he gives that, "which equals the value of, and hails to, and the grip is given thus, and it alludes to, and the charge," you see, we're keeping some of these are the sort of things that you keep secret. They're basically recognition. So when you have little things like these passwords and these signs and what have you, you know whether somebody else has actually received this initiation, because if they can't give them to you, they haven't. "The charge of the order is nosce te ipsum, know thyself, and the response is in tuo templo tuus deus. In your temple, you are a god. But whenever you invoke this mighty formula, you should remember that no one, not even a monarch, has the power to stay the hand of death, turn the tide, or to command the love of a child." The Hierophant returns to his throne in the east and says, "Frater Arsarar, this concludes the first section of your initiation. Your Thesmophorus will now conduct you to the hermitage, where you will remain in meditation, and you will be summoned to attend the temple lectures on the symbolism of this degree and King Solomon's art of Goetic Thaumaturgy." And the initiate may be seated in the temple while the next candidate is obligated, if the director of the work prefers that arrangement. We once did 8 people, and we had them. We would bring them in, obligate them, and sit them down, and then bring the next one. You know, all the way through from Leviathan out there, and then all the way through on the bridge and everything else, and bring them all in, obligate them, and sit them down. However, the temple has to be rearranged. Of course, it has to be rearranged for the second section. And the initiate is conducted to the hermitage, if he is, and told to remain there in meditation to be summoned back to the temple. With multiple candidates, the first will remain in the hermitage while the others complete the ordeals and receive the obligation in turn. After all the candidates have been obligated and placed in meditation, and the temple has been arranged for section 2, the Thesmophores will return to the hermitage and conduct all the initiates to the pronaos of the temple. Now we'll get into section 2. The Thez knocks 3 times. The priestess says, "Who is without?" The Thez says, "Our newly obligated Neochorus, or Neochori, who desire to know the secrets of the order and of the magical art." And the priestess says, "Let them enter." And the Thez conducts the initiates through the veil and circles with them Deosil to the east, where the Hierophant directs their attention to the great seal. And the Hierophant points to the seal. "Observe the great seal of our order and know its meaning, for it contains the mysteries of creation according to the Kabbalah of Melchizedek, in the ancient glyphs of the Phoenicians. The 3 mother letters of Left, Mem, and Sheen give birth to the 7 double letters which are attributed to the planets, from which derive the 12 single letters related to the signs of the zodiac. This is the 7th grade Hetakas, from which the sacred menorah, or 7 branch candlestick, evolved. This great design is also the septagram of Venus, the evening star of Fair Astarte, King Solomon's Queen of Heaven, and the patron goddess of our order." The Thez conducts the initiates to the western station, where the priestess calls their attention to the Tenetrum, the symbol on the altar with a cup of the equinoxes, the brass vessel of the Galatia, and the scroll of the laws of old. The priestess says, observe the sacred symbol of our order, the Tenetrum, ancient icon of the moon goddess Tenet. The symbol represents a standing woman with her arms raised in adoration. But looking deeper into its profound design, we may discover that, and the rest of that is should remain a peritone. That's the Greek word for secret. The Hierophant holds up the liber spiritum open to the diagram of the Tree of Life, showing the formation of the rhombus, the insignia of the order, which he explains, and that too we will keep prep. The priestess takes, because, you know, you see, if somebody sees the OTA insignia and you're an OTA member and they claim they are, well, you can say, well, okay, what does it mean? And if they don't know you, they're not. The priestess takes up the scroll and unrolls it or directs attention to it and says, you stood between the pillars and we're told the serpents you see twined around the columns are emblazoned with the most ancient laws in the language of the angels. And these columns also represent the pillars of mercy and severity on the Tree of Life. The Craterapola declares that the duty of the Neo Chorus is to care for the pillars. Our interpretation of that requirement is that you memorize the laws of old in the language of the angels and in your own tongue, so that you may recite them before the judges in order to be advanced to the next degree of Melanophorus. And using the scroll as a guide, the Hierophant reads the laws in Enochian, and the priestess reads them in English. And I'll read them in both. Yes, or just Anapugo. Logo Avnas Pier, we swear obedience unto the word of God upon the holy pillar. Aboapre Adoan Lea, serve the all powerful one. Ye edix aneu, honor wisdom. Una Jesus, increase understanding. Tabore Arita, govern with mercy. By the way, that's a set. These go right down the tree, and they're appropriate. And Gabura is Bransagi Vaoan, guard the truth. And Tipareth is Okrime Adisorba, sing the praises of beauty. And the Pesh is Brota Marzaghi Indikasago, be thou stewards of the earth. And Hod is Brasindana, protect knowledge. And Yasod is Arpia Madrid, conquer your passions. Malkuth is Bilorex Kostadovix, comfort the fallen. And following that, the double cube altar has been removed to the southwest corner. The triangle of art is on its easel and is placed in the eastern quadrant of the elemental circle. An east-pointing pentagram is laid on the floor with tape. The Thesmophores and the Odos will move the furniture for a Gothic or Goetic operation. Yeah, it is kind of gothy. A goetic operation in the circle. The thurible will be placed under the pentacle mirror on the triangle, and the server's stand with incense, frankincense, will be, and a serving knife are provided. The operator's table with all the goetic implements are in place, with the stools for the receiver, the operator, and the server. The Thes and the Odos will assist the new initiates, each in turn, to take their positions and scry into the mirror while the Hierophant reads the lecture, which is called Liber Astarte, which is also from a scroll. Now, this is Liber Astarte. Hail to the Father of Light and the Mother of Darkness. Hail to Adonai. Thunder in the stillness, lightning in the velvet night. He was the first and the last. Not that which is now or that which shall come tomorrow. Seek for him in the dim, seek for him not in the dim past or in the distant future. For he did create the gods, and anon he shall dissolve them. The number is 10 for the fingers of Adam Cadman, because the first man counted thus and made it so. It reduces to nothing, it expands to infinity without thy calculations. The planets rule, thou sayest, and I say thou rulest the planets. For the stars are the very suns about which they revolve. And did not the divine Plato reveal that every man is a star? And did not Jesus declare Mary's celestial equal of every man? And therefore every woman is also a star. And I say to you the secret of this art called thaumaturgy, and sometimes theurgy, is threefold. First, there is the secret of God, and second, there is the secret of man, and third, there is the secret of the method of art, wherein the first and the second must be understood before the third is revealed. And lo, I shall deliver these secrets unto thee, and they shall be thine, children of the light. But this knowledge must not fall into the hands of the uninitiated, for this art is intended only for the wise. When we wrote that, that's what we intended, and we kept it secret for years, but obviously it leaked out, so it's no longer a secret. But I haven't changed it, because basically it should have remained secret. As above, so below, might also be written as within, so without. For the darkness of Nepesh is the path to the light of Nekema. Seek within yourself, and brave the terrors of your own depths. Know yourself, for in your temple you are one with the gods, is the first key to the secret. Then recall that the first man was created in the image of God. This is the second key. Now, thou shouldst know that the image of God doth mean the face of God, which is likened to thine own. And is it not written in the divine commander of Hermes thrice greatest that the heavenly spirit of man became enamored in his reflection in the mirror of nature? Herein lies the third key, and is the ancient method of magic. And yet there are few who dare to look upon the face of God. So in their conjuring, the secret yet eludes the credulous. There are those who seek the gods and fiends in wisps of smoke and the flicker of flames. Yes, and even in the delirium of strange potions. Or they starve themselves and torture their bodies in search of a vision, which the true master of this art may achieve with ease. For in God's face, which is likened to thine own, are images of all the gods and fiends contained in every visage of heaven and hell most truly reflected. Then are the gates opened and the inner voices heard, even as was promised in the very clavicles of Solomon. And I say to those who know of such things that the lesser key is indeed the greater, and I shall prove that beyond argument. The circle thou knowest, for it is the Ein Sof, and where thou standest in its center, there is the Ein Sof Aur collected, even at the juncture of the cross of the four quarters. From this center emanates the light of creation, the solar phallic yod of Tetragrammaton. For when thou dost stand on the very spot in the center, thou hast become the regent of the very sun himself. Now behold the mystery of the pentagram. over which we must draw a veil in this legenda. There's a special configuration of the pentagram which we will not reveal to you in the legenda. Now observe the triangle of art and learn its mysteries. The first point thou shalt create beyond the circle of art is alone. It has no relation to anything. It merely exists. On the second point, thou shalt establish that form a line unto the first, and yet this is also without relation and substance. Now, while this is going on, these candidates are being seated, and they have the evocation candles in their hands, and they're starting to, you know, scry in the mirror. And if it's in the east, we have Baal's sigil in the mirror. And I'm wearing a T-shirt, Baal sigil that Frater Heracles gave me. I can look down at it. The third point describes a triangle and defines a plane, and yet without thickness, it is one-dimensional. Now, point four creates the primal solid, the mystic tetrahedron, symbol of the first creation, the daughter of tetragrammaton, and the symbolic clay from which the golem was made. This, then, is the ancient arcanum of the triangle, and it proves that the lesser key called Lamegaton to be the philosophical and practical epitome of the clavicles attributed to Solomon. And you will find the triangle in the Sefer Shlomo, which is the Hebrew version of the Key of Solomon. Now, there be many who know the mystery of the triangle, and we have thus divulged it. But it's not the whole of the secret, and oftentimes knowledge does not beget wisdom. The triangle you see here in the temple is different in some respects from that illustrated in the ancient manuscripts. But once again, we must draw the veil of secrecy in the legenda, encouraging you to seek a temple initiation in the newer Neo-Chorus degree. And just because you get a letter of entitlement for this degree does not mean you're gonna get these little secrets. You're gonna have to take that letter of entitlement, and you're gonna have to fly to California or Texas and get your second degree. I mean, there's no, you know, that one of the reasons why we're not giving it all to you in the legenda, but we have to give you the legenda so you could at least get a letter of entitlement to the degree. It was written in the Lamegaton that thou shalt place the triangle a cubit distant from the rim of the circle of art in the quadrant of thy working, but flat upon the floor on the earth. Now, who says so? You should know that the first European magician to use this method, Secco Dioscuri, held the mirror before his face, and thus we know that the triangle with the magic mirror must be raised to eye level so that the receiver's reflection may be seen. Know that the jinn which mighty King Solomon did conjure into the triangle of his art were formed in the reflection of his face, for they were aspects of his soul, each agreeing unto a quadrant and a metal thereof, which, when burnished, did reflect even as a mirror. Now be aware that in the East, adepts have long used the dark mirror to call up visions of their past incarnations. And in Africa, the same method is used to summon the images of one's ancestors. And if we were to use the magic mirror for either purpose, we should operate in the sphere of Malkuth. For all Goetic spirits, regardless of their origin, are bound in the lunar sphere of Yesod. So when thou dost hold the lighted tapers in thine hands, and thou dost gaze deep into thine own eyes and beyond, know that thou dost perform the magical art in the very manner in which it was truly done. For there are 72 spirits contained in the brass vessel of Solomon, and there are 72 letters in the extended name of God, and from each of which the name of the holy angel is derived, and which in turn controls its demon counterpart in the cavern of our individual microcosm. Think well on this balance, child of the light, for if thou dost not understand this principle, thou shouldst forbear to practice this art. Now it must needs be recalled that there are 10 sephirot, which are the reflectors of the Ein Sof Ha'or, down through the four worlds, which are called Atzeluth at the highest center, Bria, wherein the rays are directed, yet Zira, in which the patterns of things to be are described, and Ashia, wherein they take shape and substance. These 10 sephirot do agree unto the planets and to the odors thereof of certain, and to the odors thereof, and to certain metals which are attributed, each in proper order. And in like fashion there are perfumes, some sweet, some acrid, and others of a subtle fragrance, agreeing to the humors of the planets and to the spirits thereof. And in the evocation of these entities, the Magus shall stand directly behind the descrier in the circle, and shall be armed with the wand of the phoenix or the wand of the dragon. And he shall envision the caduceus of Hermes within the receiver as a chain of mystic jewels to be enlivened by a descending series of sigils, drawn with the wand in the astral light while the names of power vibrated. And it should be further understood that each and every angel, spirit, demon, or ancient deity both agree unto a world of sephirot and a psychic center jewel within the physical body. But in this art Goetia, they are all seen through the mirror of Yesod, the sephira of the moon, which is the sphere of memory, the repository of images, the realm of dreams, and the gateway to the Olam Yetzirah, which is called the astral plane. So it is that the lunar goddess Tanit, reverenced as the muse of this art Goetia, and all such workings are undertaken in the waxing of the moon. Her ancient symbol, the Tanitrum, is seen in that secret seal of Solomon which contains the spirit within the vessel of brass, which represents nothing less than the mind of man. Those of you who have seen our video, The Magic of Solomon, you remember that we discussed the brass vessel as a symbol of the mind of man. It is also needful to know that thy circle of art should be divided into the colors of the elements, with the proper symbols thereupon, and with the signs of the zodiac agreeing, and also the names of the four archangels, should be there inscribed in the characters of the Phoenicians and in the language of thy birth. In the first book of the Lamegaton, called the Goetia, thou wilt find the sigils of the spirits truly drawn, and all instructions as to their use are rightly given therein, save that thou must needs inscribe the sigil twice, once upon thy lamen, as it is written, and again upon the surface of the dark speculum of art, in which thy face and the lamen is reflected. And we use China markers for that. Concerning these jinn of wise King Solomon, thou shouldst know a great truth, and thus approach thy work with prudence, yea, even reverence. For they are not all mean and evil, as the uninitiated scribes have recorded. Some of the very gods of Chem, of Phoenicia, and Chaldea, and the Queen of Heaven and the Bull of the Sun are among their number, for all may be summoned in the dark window of thy soul. Therefore, be astute in thy studies, and forbear to evoke a spirit that thou knowest not the nature and history of. And when thou shalt summon a very god or goddess, yea, even the queen of heaven, fair Astarte, let thy conjurations be firm and potent in the summoning. Yet when the vision doth appear, thou shouldst honor the presence of the deity with sincere reverence, and beg forgiveness for the force that thou hast presumed to employ with the following petition, which is nowhere else written down. When the vision of one to be so honored appeareth, the magus shall make the sign of adoration, and all attending shall do likewise, saving only the seer or the seeress. And then the mage addresses the deity thus: Divine and glorious name and title, forgive us thy humble servants for evoking thee with such presumption and demanding thy presence with such powerful incantations. But we hasten to declare that we have commanded only that aspect of thy spirit that dwells within us. We hold thy higher presence in true reverence and seek thy favor in all humility. Now, let me mention right now that, of course, what I'm reading is kind of a channeled work, and most of which I originally wrote. But that particular apology to the spirit, that was written and perhaps channeled by Soror Ariel and Lady Jo Carson, and because, you know, even though I carefully explained to everybody that the ancient priests and rabbis made demons, they made demons out of our ancient gods, and so when we call them forth as demons, but we still then when we finally get them, we should honor them, and so Lady Jo came up with this, and so we, if she's listening, you know, I want to make sure that she recalls that this one is hers. Okay, now once you have called the patron deities of our order, King Baal and Queen Astarte, by their traditional signatures in the Galatia, you have opened the golden gate, and you may thereafter employ secret sigils derived from the Enneosphere of our Rose Cross, through which you may evoke all of Melchizedek's ancient pantheon to open the roses and awaken the jewels of your inner caduceus. In calling forth entities of a lower rank or nature, thou shalt observe the welcome to the spirit as it is written down in the Galatia. And in all thy working, thou shalt not fear to employ the strongest exorcism, if needed, but only after the license to depart hath failed. And I didn't include the curse of chains in the Book of Solomon's magic. And I should have, because I since have had to do a couple of exorcisms, and they are not fun, I'm going to tell you. And but in both cases in these exorcisms that I had to do, the people that I did them for didn't get their demons from us. They didn't get their demons from our practice. They came from elsewhere. But I should have, I should have included. And we finally do another edition of the Solomon's Magic, I will include the Curse of Chains. The last great secret we shall reveal in connection with this art is the creation of the magical child. To this end, the seals of King Baal and Queen Astarte may be combined in one parchment talisman, dedicated to a worthy purpose and kept ready in the brass vessel to be impregnated with the Amrita of the Hieros Gamos at the climax of the Holy Rite. Brothers and sisters of our Holy Order, with this knowledge thou shalt be masters of the 72 slaves of the brass vessel, the very jinn which mighty Solomon did command, and so by this very art. But I enjoin you to caution, and pledge you to discretion, for now you are privy to secrets guarded through the ages, and conveyed only to those found worthy of their keeping. For herein lies, the means to secure the blessings of the gods and command the legions of hell. Take care to use these secrets and these powers, the powers they unlock, only for good and never to harm others. For if you do evil with this art, you are thereby exalting evil through your own reflection, and you will suffer tenfold the torments you would inflict upon others. Now remember this, and always work your magic in the service of the All One and the Pathway of Light. So it is written, and so mote it be. Now let me say this about that. This is the way the Goetia was done. And there's not much doubt about this, especially if you know about Secco d'Ascoli and the Mirror of Fluoron, you know it. And Picatrix and whatever confirms all of this. There are people who have supposedly magicians who just refuse to use this, even though it was, you know, we couldn't keep it secret. It leaked out, and then it ended up getting published in a major publication, by the late Don Craig, and they even had a supermarket handbook on how to do it, but we tried, we did try for years to keep it secret, and we should have, but you don't dare use this particular method to sick a demon on somebody, because what you end up doing is sicking it on yourself, because it comes up from you anyway. And even Crowley knew that, by the way. We tried to keep it secret, but we couldn't. So and we have a video that shows you how to do it. And I strongly recommend that video, that for those of you that haven't seen it, that's the Magic of Solomon. And by the way, we send you the video for free along with the Book of Solomon's Magic and your membership kit when you join the Associate Member Program. So, you may be encouraged to do that. And then after the lecture, we have the communion and the closing. A tray with the communion sacraments is brought to the East Station by the priestess, and she stands facing the north, and the Hierophant is on the dais. And the Hierophant says, "Brothers and sisters, join with us now as we share the ancient mass of the elements." The members approach the dais, and the Hierophant and the priestess serve each other first, and then the new initiates are served last, and the Hierophant serving incense. The incense represents man's aspiration, rising to the heavens on the winds of the air. Inhale its fragrance in the name of Raphael and be uplifted. And then he presents the fire. The fire symbolizes the life force emanating from the sun. Pass your hands over its flame in the name of Mikael and be comforted. and the priestess serves the chalice. The mead is the golden dew of heaven, born of rain cloud and sunbeam. The ancient name for this drink is called Oenalus. Partake of it in the name of Gabrielle and be sustained. And then she offers the bread and the salt. The salt is the mineral substance of Holy Mother Earth, and the bread is the bounty of the seed sown in her womb. Partake of them in the name of Oriel and be nourished. Hierophant and the priestess recite the benediction on the holy oil and the kiss of agape in unison as they anoint and kiss each other. And then they alternate and administer the kiss to the sisters and brothers while the priestess anoints their foreheads and recites the benediction. With the brothers, the process is reversed. Now, the Hierophant and priestess, the holy oil and the kiss of agape are the symbols of generation that quicken the life within the elements. Receive them in the name of Alasha and be transformed. And Amasha is our tetragrammaton, which is also Shema Ata in the 22-letter alphabet and Amasha O in the 24-letter alphabet. Now, after the new initiates have all been served, there is a moment of informal congratulation. Then the Hierophant and the priestess resume their stations in the east and the west. And the Hierophant says, "Let us form a circle of mystic fellowship, brothers and sisters of our order in the Temple of Astarte, give the sign of the Neo Chorus," and that is done. The temple is then closed in due form, and that concludes the agenda for the Neo Chorus degree. And as I said, there we withheld enough. Private material there. Yeah, you have the essence of the degree here on the agenda, and this is going to be posted as part of your lessons, you know, on the website. And those of you who are associate members will have a plug-in examination on this. Our examinations are easy; they're plug-ins, But you'll have to pass it in order to get a letter of entitlement for this degree. Now, that concludes the agenda, and we're going to be presenting this degree to a very worthy candidate over in Austin, Texas, in about 2 weeks, So I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm not gonna be the Hierophant. I'm just gonna be sort of like I am in the Golden Dawn. I'm just gonna be sitting there, sort of in an honorary position, just watching. But I'm really looking forward to it. Anyway, that concludes our show. Next week we're gonna be back at the same time, same station, with another magical presentation, and we look forward to seeing you then. Meanwhile, stay, be sure and tune in again, and good magic.